got Simmy graciously with me. Hello, Simmy.
Hi, Flame. How are you?
I am doing great. Yourself?
Not too bad.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for having me.
This is, I think, the longest so far of a conversation, time distance between conversations, because I think we are 14 hours apart.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's 10:30 for me on a Tuesday morning.
And it is 8:30 on Monday night for me.
Oh, wow. Okay, that is pretty intense.
It's pretty intense. I love how big fandom is. So, speaking of fandom, would you mind telling us your fandom origin story?
Oh, well, I'd love to. It's a bit... Okay, I'll admit, it started off when I was practically a baby. No joke. I was probably about 10 or 11, so it was about 2006 or so, and I was really into Harry Potter, as people were back then, and I was always, like, you know, really interested in all the, you know, the legend stuff, you know, and I was on the Harry Potter lexicon, and I think I got into fan fiction through MuggleNet, if people remember what that was.
Oh, I wrote for MuggleNet. I love it.
Oh, really? I think it's still on, but I've just haven't used it in, like, you know, decades sort of thing. But I think it, because they used to have a fan fiction section, and I don't know if they still have it, but I used to read from there, and I sort of went from there to, like, harrypotterfanfiction.com and to Portkey. I think I lingered there for quite a bit of time because I really got into Harry and Hermione as a ship. And
yes, that me was too, like, girl. They're my OTP in Harry Potter. I got you.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know where other, you know, I don't know where else you could go with that, but I know there are a lot of, you know, arguments about that. But for me, it was always Harry and Hermione. And that's probably the place where I made the made the transition to fanfiction.net. And I've been in a lot of, you know, fandom since then. And honestly, fandom was, like, a massive coping mechanism for me, especially throughout high school, because I was dealing with a lot of other things. But I think I've been into fan fiction for a good, you know, 12, 13 years now. And I've written for most of that time, although you will never find any of my early stuff if I can help it. I've demolished all of that off the internet, which is a good thing because no one should ever know what my earlier experiences with writing was. They were mostly OC fan fictions, so I'm sure you can tell exactly what that was.
You had a lot of feelings.
Oh, well, God, no, they were really, really bad.
I started with Pacey and Joey from Dawson's Creek. So,
I got Dawson's Creek.
Don't worry.
Oh God, Dawson's Creek. That takes me back.
Yeah.
Other than that, look, I think for me specifically Marvel, it was by mistake, really, because I was really into Superbat at some stage. It was back in, I think it was like around 2016, 2017. And I know there are quite a few fics in the Superbat fandom that have Steve and Tony as a side pairing or like a minor pairing. And I got really into it through that ship, I think. And then I started reading the fics. I'll confess, I probably didn't even watch most of the movies before I started reading fic. I tend to do that. And then I probably went back because I think that there were quite a few Marvel movies on Netflix back in 2017. And I was actually in Switzerland on exchange. So I had nothing better to do. And I, you know, watched a bunch of them. I think I pretty much started off with Civil War, which I think was probably the wrong one to start with.
That's a really intense one to jump into the fandom with. Yeah.
I definitely watched Avengers before that, not when it was big, because I remember people talking about it when I was in high school. So I think it came out in 2012 and 2013 was like my last year of high school. I know people were talking about it back then, but I don't think I watched it then, but I never really got into it. And then I got into Civil War and I really liked it. And I started reading a lot of post-Civil War fan fiction was like my thing in 2017. And then I started branching out and I watched all the other Marvel movies and I started reading, you know, some of the comic stuff as well, trying to get myself in because I love having as much fan fiction as possible, especially in one particular, you know, ship that I like. And I don't know. I think the good thing about Steve and Tony was that not only were the movies there, but there was so much, you know, comic stuff that I didn't know about. It was like Superbat for me, to be honest, like, because there were so many, you know, iterations of the characters and it was just such a, you know, wealth of, you know, stories out there that I could read. And that's, you know, really what gets my motor running in the end. So Yeah, that's pretty much how I came into the fandom. I didn't start writing until 2018, so I read quite a bit because I didn't think that I had, you know, the characterization of the characters, you know, down pat. And then I think the first time I wrote for Marvel and Steve and Tony was in the Stony Love Steve exchange in 2018. That was the first time I'd actually had given it a go. And since then, it sort of toppled. And I've been sort of, you know, Stony's always been my primary thing. If you look at my, you know, archive of my our own profile, you'll see Stony is like the primary ship that I've written for, but I've, you know, delved into a lot of other Tony ships since then. So yeah, that's pretty much my fandom origin story. I don't think, yeah, I've had a pretty, you know, long go of it, but Steve and Tony is still relatively new, I suppose, in the grand scheme of things for me.
That's fascinating though. And I love that you talked about like getting the characterizations down, because how I came to your fic personally is how much I love how much you play with characterizations.
Well, thank you for that.
And so it was very like that. That is like the very first fic of yours that I read is actually a gender bent Tony. And since then I've fallen into a lot more of how creative you kind of take, especially Tony. So since this is the representation episode, I'm just going to open it up and ask kind of, when I say that word, which is a really big word, but what does representation in fandom mean to you?
Oh, well, interesting question. I suppose for me personally, I like, without the, you know, hopefully I don't sound, you know, crude or rude or anything like that, but I like the idea of seeing people that look like me on the screen or in a book or something like that. Now, I don't get that much. I know, you know, Indians tend to play a supporting role. It's very rarely, you know, media that centers around us in particular. And it tends to be comedy, you know, it doesn't really have, you know, we don't really get a lot of serious stuff with us in the, you know, in the foreground, unless it's, you know, from our own culture. But I guess for me, I like seeing different sorts of experiences on the screen, and I like those experiences to be portrayed. You know, the more specific the story, the better for me, because I really don't, you know, I think we all grew up with the same sort of, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants, Rugrats, things like that. And like, I mean, I guess I just always wanted to see different stories in action on screen, because I think that there are so many different stories out there and we don't even touch on any of them. So, you know, that's for me is what representation is, the chance to see all of those stories and learn something new. I think that was the big thing. Like, I just recently watched Unorthodox, and I thought that was such a great story to, you know, find out about, because I knew nothing about Hasidic Jews. I honestly did not know anything about them. And it was just such a good foray to that, to actually understand what it was like for them from their point of view. And, you know, to see that journey, it was just amazing. So I guess, hopefully I haven't rambled on too much, but I guess to me, that's what representation means.
I mean, I think like what you said, like when you opened it up and said, you hope you don't sound crass. I actually don't think that's crass at all. I think it is the gut level, honest truth. We all want to see ourselves on screen. We all want to see ourselves on the page. We all want to recognize ourselves in the art that we consume. I think that's a really universal human experience.
I think another thing is, and to be honest, I feel like maybe people who are not, you know, your traditional cis white man or woman, we've gotten used to finding bits and pieces and, you know, characters that, you know, suit us or, you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah. So like, I mean, for me, Tony, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is pretty white, but I get a lot out of him as a character. I get a lot out of Pepper as a character. I think we've gotten used to seeing parts of ourselves in characters who don't necessarily look like us, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't want other characters to actually look like us, you know. Yeah. For me, I have this tendency to pick a fandom and I pick a character and I really, you know, I may not, you know, relate to the skin color or the experience, but there are bits and pieces. Like for me in Vampire Diaries, it was Caroline.
And in Game of Thrones / A Song of Ice and Fire, it was Sansa. And at this stage, you're probably realizing that there's a pattern between me and neurotic and or misunderstood characters.
But those were the ones, you know, they didn't necessarily look like me, but I they spoke to me at the very least. But at some stage, I always just felt like, you know what, I want a character that speaks to me, but looks like me and, you know, sort of has the other experiences that, you know, those characters might not necessarily have. So yeah, I suppose that's for me is...
So that's where the... And for you, it sounds like to me that part of that experience is crafting the characters yourself, which is where I know you not only gender bend Tony, but you also race bend him, is the phrase you used with me once. Is that appropriate? Am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, no, but I think race bending is probably the best term for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about that, like times you choose to do one or both or the other, or what kind of stuff are you trying to say, do you think, in different times?
Well, okay. So for me, actually, this I should probably tell you a little bit about how, you know, Indian Tony came around.
I'd love to hear that. Yeah.
So it really started off, and I have to confess, I'm not the first person to say it, and I'm not the first person to come up with this headcanon or to race bend him at all. And, you know, if you look at Tumblr, it's very difficult to actually find the gift sets now, because I was looking for it a little earlier, but people have done Indian Tony gift sets, you know, race bending him before. There was a really good, so there's one which has Riz Ahmed as Tony, which I think is a brilliant fan cast, frankly. I think that suits him great. I love it. The other one was, it's a South Indian actor, which I think was the reason why I liked it so much. His name is Surya and he's a really popular Tamil actor. And it was him as Tony. And actually I really love that fan cast. It's not my personal one. I can tell you about who I imagine for him a little bit later, but it was such a shock seeing that. And it was Surya as Tony, I think it was another South Indian actress as Pepper, I forgot who it was, and it was Frida Pinto as Natasha.
Oh my god, that's perfect. That's so perfect. It's painful.
It was really good. I just really loved it. And there is actually a really cute video. It's a parody of like what the Avengers would be like if they were Indian. And I've posted it in a couple of the Discord chats, but I'll definitely send it to you because it's a great video and it's really funny. And any Indian will laugh their ass off at it because it's just really, it speaks to us in a different way, but, it was that, and then it was me also at the same time whinging about the fact that there are no Indian characters in the Marvel universe, or rather on the movies at least. And I know that there's the taxi driver in Deadpool, but mainly
that is some serious representation. Then my gosh, I'm rolling back with that. Yeah.
Wow, an Indian taxi driver.
Yeah.
I wonder how long it had to take for them to think of that.
I wonder how many writers need to sit around a room and think about that one. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure they were either tossing up between the 7-Eleven worker or a taxi driver. So
yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, it pretty much came out at that. So I was thinking to myself, you know, rather than invent an original character, which, you know, people will not, you know, they might not like, and they, you know, I feel like, you know, in recent times, the original characters, you know, have gotten their, you know, fair share of licks. Frankly, and you know, my immortal disaster didn't, you know, really help things, but I just thought about, you know, what it would be like if I took one of these characters, and to be honest, I'll be honest and say Marvel's the first time I've ever done that, and I thought about what if I made one of those characters a different you know, race. And it actually didn't start with Indian, I will tell you that. Indian came much later. It actually started off with my first femme Tony fic, which was so I've always thought that Howard was Jewish. I've read a lot of meta on the topic, and I've always really liked the idea of Howard being Jewish, based on the way he describes his background in Agent Carter. So that was one half of my representation, and the other half, I really liked the idea of that. I'm pretty sure it's Ultimates universe, but I could be easily wrong, and I'm not an expert on the comics at all, but one iteration of his comics origin where Maria is Latina. And so that was actually my first foray into race bending. So I don't know, it's not technically race bending, but I was superimposing the comic characteristics onto his, you know, the movie version of him. So it started off as Jewish Latina Tony Stark, and female Tony Stark at that. So that was my first sort of thing. And that's an ongoing series. And I actually am rewriting that, the first one at the very least, because I had initially made him Ashkenazi Jewish, and I might be saying that wrong, please forgive me if I am, to anyone who's listening to this, but I recently got inspired by the idea of Sarah Shahi as Tony, as my, in that fic at least, the female version, and she's Iranian, so I decided to make Howard Iranian Jewish. So
that was fascinating.
Yeah, so it, to be honest, the fan cast I find actually does, it does change things as you're doing it. You know, I had one imagination for Tony at the beginning, and then things change, you know, especially when you decide that you don't really like the way that person fits for that character. And you're like, you know, it sort of evolves from there. And the Indian Tony came a little bit later, which was actually based off not just the gift sets and my own personal whinging about lack of Indian representation, but it was really inspired by the Indian Harry Potter headcanon. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it's a group of us in the Harry Potter fandom who believe that Harry is actually Indian.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but tell us a little bit more, because I think we haven't really done that in Marvel, but I think it's a really good example of a much more detailed example of what you've been talking about. So can you explain for the listeners?
Well, I mean, I'm not particularly an expert on it in any case, but so basically I think it came off the discussions about Hermione being black in the original story. And I think, and I completely agree with that headcanon. I think if I'm ever going to write, and I will give you a little bit of a promo, is that I am writing a Tony Stark and Harry Potter ship, you know, and in that Hermione is definitely black. I think that that's a really great characterization for, you know, to make her black. And in that, I think people started nitpicking Harry's description. So for example, I'm not quite sure, but I think they focus a lot on the messy hair. And I know that's a, you know, it's a long shot, but I think that there is a, there is a lot there. You know, Indians tend to have frizzy hair, and it's curly, and it doesn't quite stay down, despite a lot of man-made efforts. Some of it was also, you know, the his name. So, for example, Harry. So, in our languages, like Hari is the name of a god. My main god in my religion, but one of the gods in the wider religion, Hinduism, and it means lion. So that was one of the things. And you know what, Harry Potter was really big with the Indians, you know, really loved the story completely. And I think from there, people started making up these headcanons, and they started writing, you know, drawing Harry as really dark, like dark brown. And I'm not quite sure if they ever went into his skin color in the actual, in the books, but I think that sort of helped things go along as well. And it was just like, you know, little things like, you know, the abusive relatives, etc. You know, that sort of thing. I think Harry's story really resonated a lot with Indians. And I think that was probably the first time that I've ever seen something. I don't think I've seen it anywhere else. I've never seen anyone race bend someone as Indian. And to do it as Harry Potter, you know, the iconic Harry Potter, that itself sort of blew my mind. And I started thinking to myself, you know what? What if I made Tony Indian? He is my favorite character. I don't get Indian representation in the Marvel movies. Why not I make him Indian? And it really goes off the idea that we don't know anything about Maria Stark as of the movies. And to me, it was just as likely that Howard had married a little brown girl and asked her to change her name so that he would be able to do his business much more effectively. So that really is my sort of origin story for Indian Tony. And yeah, I guess that's sort of, I mean, there are multiple sources for it, but that's pretty much how I came to the decision. It's a little difficult, to be honest, trying to fit it into the, you know, the canon that we know of. It was me stretching it a bit. You know, I admit, you know, they showed Maria as, you know, being very blonde and very white in the movies. But I was just thinking, you know what, if she was just Indian? That's pretty much where I came out with it. No, and I started thinking.
Please go ahead.
I don't know. I just started thinking, so what would that mean for Tony growing up? And I always start sort of like from a chronological sort of perspective and see, so if he was Indian and he was born, what would Maria have done? You know, what were the choices that she would have had to make? And how would Tony have, you know, Tony have grown up with those choices? So for example, I always say that Maria gave him an Indian name at birth, and Howard was never around then. I always maintain that Howard was never in the actual room when she gave birth. I think Jarvis was the first person to hold Tony when he was a baby. That's my personal view. And Maria gives him an Indian name. I have my own version. So Maria's Indian name before she changed it to Maria is Moshmi. And I always say that she names Tony Anirudh. That's the name that I get, because I was thinking of A names and I couldn't think of anything else. If Tony is a girl, her name is Ahalya. And there are reasons for that as well. So so the Anirudh one is, it's actually a story in my religion. So basically there is a princess. She's the princess of, like, so her father is like the demon version in our, like the king of the demons in our religion, and she starts having dreams of this really handsome man, and her maid servant starts drawing her pictures of all the, you know, eligible men and stuff like that, and she finally lands on this prince. His name is Anirudha, and his grandfather is actually one of the main religious figures in our thing. And so she kidnaps him and brings him to her, you know, mistress, and they get married, and, you know, they're living in secret in this palace without the king of the demons knowing. And then when the king of the demons finds that, he holds them prisoner, and then there's this whole war to get this princess and this prince back. And I always really loved that story. I always thought it was incredibly romantic, and I thought, okay, that's going to be my name for him as a man. And Ahalya, so that's a different story. That sort of came out of my idea that Tony, as a woman, has to contend with so much prejudice, not only being a woman, but being brown. And it really, so the story goes, and I'll sort of do it briefly, I don't want to get into it too much detail, because there are a lot of versions of this. There is a priest, so we call them rishis in my culture, and he has a wife, and her name is Ahalya. And there is the king of the gods, and he comes to her one day, and she sleeps with him. And so she commits adultery against her husband. Her husband finds out and curses her into, I think she turns into a rock. And someone else has to come in, who is an incarnation of our god, and he treads on her with his feet, and she comes back to life. And he asks the priest to forgive her. And I always got the idea. So I was told, my mom was telling me the story, that I was told that she knew that the king, that this guy that she slept with was the king of the gods. She knew that he was, you know, that this would be, you know, cheating on her husband. She could have stopped him. She was incredibly powerful. But she chose to do that anyway. And I was like, this so fits with my idea of Tony Stark. So I decided to name female version of Tony Ahalya. Of course, that gets changed to Anthony and Antonio. But that's the name that Tony has in the background. And that's the name that Maria always calls him or her. And you'll see that in a fic that I started to post. It's like one chapter's up. It's my sugar daddy, Steve, AU. And you'll see Maria sort of talk about that as well. But that was sort of my process. So I started off thinking, okay, so he's a little brown boy. You know, sometimes he goes to galas with his parents and he goes running around and people start thinking that he's actually the cook's son. And they don't believe him when he says, no, I'm actually Howard Stark's son, because he's too dark. And then he has to, you know, he grows up and he gets into a relationship with Tiberius Stone, which is always, you know, going to be a great time for him. And I've never really, look, I know that this is my personal thing, but I never really have Tony, sort of struggling with the idea that he's pansexual. I've never really addressed that in any of my fics, and I accepted that's probably not a fair thing to do, just assuming that he'd be okay with it. I think for me, the way I look at it is that Tony is such a special person in our, you know, in his world and in our world, that I just don't see him having that panic. I feel that he would accept that a lot more because he already feels that he's a strange person compared to everyone else. But that's just the way that I see it. But I acknowledge that in a different circumstance that, you know, Indians and, you know, brown people in particular who are religious in particular as well, have to go through a lot of prejudice and a lot of panic when it comes to recognizing that part of their sexuality. And I've just never had a chance to really explore that in any of my fics, but I do acknowledge that is actually an issue. And it's not that I'm glossing over it. I fully understand how difficult it is for people like me and, you know, to actually come out as gay or bi or, you know, pan or, you know, ace, anything, because, you know, our culture just does not agree with it or our religion doesn't agree with it. But I've just never personally, you know, written about it because I don't know if I could actually accurately describe that. And I don't want to, you know, step on anyone's toes. But yeah, so that's pretty much my bare bones headcanon. So yeah, and I'm
so rich.
Well, I've taken that and I put it into pretty much every single one of my fics now. So that's it changes from fic to fic, but for the most part, that is pretty much how it starts. And there is a lot about Maria there. Like I have like written a backstory for her and exactly how she came. And it was a lot of it was based on things that my mom would tell me about what it was like for her in like the 70s, and things that were going on with like arranged marriages and things like that. And but yeah, I've sort of built up this backstory for me, for both Maria and Tony, and that's sort of informed how I've written him over the last probably year or so. So yeah.
That's so interesting. And how have like commenters and other parts of fandom, have they really engaged with Desi Tony, or has it not been, what's that reception been?
So I guess I've had pretty much most people have been incredibly excited and really willing to read, and they've really thanked me for, you know, giving them either, you know, some information they probably didn't understand or they probably didn't know. So one of my pet peeves has always been that people ask me, do you speak Indian? And that really bothers me.
Yeah, I'm laughing at them, not you. Sorry.
No, I fully understand. No, you can laugh at me too, because it really, like, after a while, it's just like one of those things that we secretly facepalm at, because
there's no Indian language. Oh, good Lord.
There's really no Indian language. So there's multiple languages in India, and we all speak very different ones, and we all speak different dialects of them too. So that was one of the things, that was the first thing that I wanted to write about in my fic, and it was to say, someone has to ask Tony, does he speak Indian? Just because I have to have an answer. Well, no, do you speak white? So
yes.
Yeah. So most people have been really good with it, and they've been really, really keen to know more, and they've been really keen to understand that, and they've been really, I've been really happy with, I didn't know how it would be when I first, you know, put it up, but people have really rolled with it. And I've had a lot of Indian people actually commenting, saying that, you know what, thank you for the representation, thank you for putting my story out there. And that really gets to me. And you know what, like I said before, I'm not the first person to have Indian Tony headcanons. There are people on Tumblr, if you know where to look, that have really good headcanons. And what I can say is that I write a very specific type of Tony, and I write a very specific type of Indian Tony as well. There is a dearth of Indian experiences to write about, and I'm not writing all of them by any means.
So I write a very specific type of Indian Tony. So he's South Indian, he's Tamilian, he's a Brahmin. So he doesn't lose some of that, you know, privilege that we like to explore and fix so much. And he's also what's called an Iyengar, which is a very sort of, it's a group of Brahmins in India. And it's a sort of, they practice a very specific sect of our religion as well. And a lot of that comes from the fact that I myself am an Iyengar. So when you see him, you know, practicing Hinduism in my fics, it's very tailored to that Iyengar experience and what religion is like for us and the things that we believe and we do. Yeah, so
a lot of me in him as well, which I know sounds like a bit of like a self-insert, but I write a very specific type of Tony, and there are a lot of other Indian Tonys out there that are all really interesting too. And if you can find those people on Tumblr, I suggest you really peel through their Tumblrs, because they have a lot to say. And I'm happy to, you know, tell people who to look out for and who to find on Tumblr, because it's just, you know, it's really great out there. It really is.
Well, I'll definitely grab some of those links. We'll throw them in the show notes because I know I've grabbed some from you in other Discord chats, but I'd love to make sure that everybody else has them. And I just, before we move on, I want to comment, like, I do think a lot of us self-insert in some ways as we write sometimes, certainly not all the time, but there are elements of how I write Tony that are very similar to my life and my experiences and how he processes certain elements of the world. And so I don't think that's a unique thing, which is another reason why the more cake theory is so important, because we need everybody's kind of shades on these folks, because none of them are right and all of them are right.
And look, I mean, what I can say about this is that what I found is that that actually makes it so much more interesting. It's a lot of flavor. And I think that that's the important thing, because to be honest, if you were getting the same sort of Tony or the same sort of Steve at any stage, you get a little bored. It's the little bits and pieces. Like, for example, I write Tony is super into Real Housewives. I don't know, but that's just because I really like the Real Housewives.
No, so I know I can talk about it. I write him and Steve always watching Dairy Girls because that's my favorite show. So, I mean,
it's a great show. So, I mean, I fully understand why you would. But, yeah, no, I think that that's the important. I mean, it's the little things. We don't see those sides of them in the movies. You know, we don't know what Tony watches when he's done in the workshop. We really don't.
But I 100% believe that he would be yelling with Nene at everybody. So that works for me. So.
I think it was one of my first ones, and it was a soulmate one. And I think that they were fighting over who was, so I think Tony was team Kenya and Steve was team Nene. And it was like, they were fighting with each other because they just, because you know, Kenya and Nene never agree on that show.
Ever.
So I think, I could easily see, and I think he knows, like, I think I even wrote in one of them that he knows the Orange County people.
Yeah, he would. And he would know the New York people. So
he would definitely know the New York people. And I fully believe that he and Tamara have like drinks and stuff, because that's like, I feel like Tamara is such a Tony character.
No, so. I mean, Simi, I wrote the very first fic I ever wrote. One of the driving premises in MCU, not in life, but in MCU, one of the driving premises was that I believed that Tony and Pepper would have been initial investors in Hamilton.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And so I had to write Pepper dragging Tony to opening night and how he would react to it. And in my fic, it's after he's like emotionally adopted Peter. So he loses it and like, you know, everything. But yeah, like if in my heart of hearts, like Pepper makes him invest in all the Broadway shows, you know? So anyway.
I think Tony is incredibly dramatic. And I think that that's why I don't know. I know we like, it's part of the reason why I like the fic so much is because we don't really see him like that on the movies. But he's in fic, at least he's always like, you know, he's always having the argument about, you know, did Han shoot first, or, yeah. You know, like it's those little things. And I want him to have those, like, you know, little bits of fandom in him. Like I want him to be the eccentric guy. Like otherwise it's just, he loses me a bit because I'm eccentric myself. And I think it speaks to a lot of us that we're all incredibly eccentric and we all have our little bits and pieces that we like. You know, no one looks at me and they think that I really like Real Housewives. Like it's not the sort of thing that people would look at me and think I like, but I really like it. And I think that's the same thing that would be for Tony, because he puts himself out there as such a businessy person. But he's actually such a baby, you know, like he likes, like touches everything and likes everything and gets excited about a lot of things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I say it frequently, but when people meet me in professional settings, if they thought that this was my main hobby, that they wouldn't guess it in a million years. And I love that. So, but I could keep talking to you all night, but I need to respect the fact that I told you a certain amount of time. So what my last kind of question, this has been such a rich and beautiful conversation. Thank you so much. What fix are you reading? What would you recommend for people? What do you really love that you wish they would love? Do you have anything for our listeners?
I do. So I was a bit of a search because I wanted to find something that was really like spoke to me and was just, you know, really good. They're all really good, but these particular ones. So the first one that I have is The Taming of the Shrew by Jellybean Forrest.
I don't think I've read that one.
Yeah, so basically I'm pretty sure it's set in the Ultimates universe, and
that would be why I'm just dipping into alts, so that would be
Yeah, honestly, and it was, I've not read many of the comics, much of it at all, but I still dip into it because I'm like that, I'm a bit reckless with my reading, but It's an ABO one, and it's like an arranged marriage between Tony and Steve when he comes out of the ice. Now you can imagine what Ultimate Steve is like, and you can imagine what an Alpha Ultimate Steve would be like.
Oh, I'm gonna read it as soon as we get off here. Yeah.
Well, it's a bit intense. What I will say is that it's intense, and it's not for the faint-hearted. It speaks to, okay, so if people have read my fic, you know that I deal with a lot of things in like relationships and marriage and things like that. That really interests me, you know, the complicated relationships that people have, especially with their partners and their husbands and wives. And so it's one of those type of fics, I will admit. And you might not agree with Steve in a lot of it. And the tags are there, so, you know, be wary of the tags. But it's still a really good one to read, just because Tony is just... he's amazing, and they have a kid, and the kid is amazing too. And it's just, it's a great version of what I think would happen if that sort of, you know, the Omega Tony marries is forced to marry Alpha Steve sort of thing against his will. That's my personal view on it, but I recommend it to everyone. The other one that I had was Suspension of Belief by Machi-kun. And it's like a post-Civil War sort of character study thing. It is Team Iron Man. I will be, honest with that. But, and then it sort of goes into an Endgame AU in the second story as well, but it's a good one, I think. And it really looks at Tony's character, and Steve is not mean or cruel. He's just a good guy trying to deal with the mistakes he's made. That's the way I'll put it, at least. But it's not one of those, you know, I see a lot of the post-Civil War ones that are like, he's sort of a caricature, you know, he's like the evil mustache-twirling villain. I'm like, that's not Steve. Come on. He's a good guy in the heart of hearts. So it's one of those. And the last one that I have is Cracks in the Mirror. And I cannot for the life of me say... now I get it. So sometimes, I don't know if you're like this, but I look at a username and the letters look really weird, but then I realize that they're actually putting a phrase together, and it just doesn't read to me like that until the end.
No, it's okay. This is how people think my name is Bethy. So it's, yes, that makes sense. So.
Because I was looking at it and it was like Div's headlights, and then I realized that it's Div versus headlights.
Nice, nice. I love a pun.
And that's a end of Endgame AU. And Steve goes back in time to put the Infinity Stones back to their spots. And, well, Tony's there, and it's a different universe. So that one's also sort of on my list as well. But honestly, look, I'll give you the names for the people that I think people should be looking out for on Tumblr for Indian Tony headcanons. And honestly, all of my new stuff and pretty much everything that's come out in the last probably 6 months has been Indian Tony. So if you're interested in reading that, you feel free to look at my fix. And if you want to talk about it, I'm always happy to talk about it. So yeah.
And I can affirm both of those things, including the fic that she's writing for me for MTH, because I was fierce to bid on that because I wanted more Indian Tony in the universe. So we'll be looking for that. So Simi, thank you so much for your time.
No worries at all.
And for making sure that this voice and your experience and your life story is part of our fandom. We're really, really grateful. So thanks so much.
No worries at all. Thank you so much for having me.